Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the baby, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
game time!
Well, welcome family to another Parents Culture Parents Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and, you know, as always, I promise you a wonderful show. Well, you know, today has been a great day for us, and... just to give you some updates on what's been going on and things that we've been into before we get into our show. You know, we've been really, really, really busy on trying to keep this show live and valuable and getting the information out to everyone to make sure that they do have a understanding of, you know, the process for the recruiting. And in addition to that, being able to communicate and connect with your child, you know, so that he or she understands that you do understand what's going on as far as the world of youth sports. So we've had on a number of great guests and continue to bring on a number of great guests, and we will continue to do that. You know, our motto is help us help you, and that's what we're going to live by, and that's what we're going to stick by. You know, we always... even in our tweets and in our Facebook, on our Facebook page, we'll always say, be an advocate. Be an advocate for your child. Parents, you have to be an advocate for your child, because if you decide that you're just going to turn that responsibility over to someone else, then you will truly, truly miss out on a great opportunity. So what we're talking about today, we're talking about reclassifying, because that's been a topic that has been it's been almost like a thorn in my side for quite some time now. And what I mean by that is, you know, our children go out here, and along with the parents, and, you know, we as parents have to put the stamp on that to say, okay, we're going to approve it, or we're not going to approve it, or we're going to go along with it, or whatever, you know. But once we put that stamp on the parents, you know, then that gives the okay for schools and coaches and all these other folks that are new in your child's life to go forward with their plan. And, you know, it turns out to be exactly that, their plan. You know, that's not a plan that you ever had in mind for your child. That's just simply a plan that someone came up with over the years and decided to try to put that plan into effect in as many lives as many of our young men as possible. If you notice that I haven't seen any young ladies actually trying to do the reclassifying thing, I've seen a lot of our young men trying to reclassify. So what am I talking about? What is reclassifying? And reclassifying is basically when we have our child repeat a grade for the purpose of self-development. And, you know, at one point in time, our children was doing it to try to get them into, you know, a better look at a different school. If you can play, you can play. Now, I was talking to a coach yesterday, and you know, one thing that it brought to my attention, you know, if the child can play, the child can play. And what I mean by that is simply, if he or she has the skills, ability, talent, and all that other kind of stuff to go out there and play the game, then he or she is going to be noticed. That's an optional thing. That is not an optional thing. He or she will be noticed. Will be noticed. And when they're noticed, then that's their time to shine, you know. And this reclassifying thing, at one point in time, it was used to And our guests will talk a whole lot about this here in a minute because we're going to bring up the eligibility coach. You know, this reclassifying thing at one time was used to help, you know, the child get a better GPA. You know, that you had the option of getting a better grade point average. But since then, the NCAA has caught on to that and decided to say, no, you're not going to be able to use that for this purpose. So as a result, they started cutting down on it. And I'm not going to steal the thunder of our guests too much. I'm just going to throw that out there and let you know that I do not believe that reclassifying is the way to go. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm waiting for our guest to call in. Like I said, it's been a very busy week for me because shortly after this show, as soon as I wrap this show up, I'm actually going to be on a local radio station, 88.1, out of Hampton University, WHOV, if you choose to go online and listen to me. I'll be a guest on Mr. Will Levy's show, and we'll be talking more about, you know, being a parent of an athlete, being a parent of an athlete, and some of the things that you need to do and focus on and stay conscious of. Well, it looks like our guest is probably on the line with us, but let me go and give my man, Mr. Keith Wright, some props, and then we'll come back up with our guest. We'll be right back.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Like Keith says each and every time, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Well, you know, I want to go and see if our guest is on the air. Eligibility coach, are you on with us?
I'm here. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. I'm doing just great. Well, if you had an opportunity to purchase her book, she probably needs no introduction, but I'm going to have her go ahead and give us a little short introduction so we can go right straight into our show.
Okay, I'm Marlon, the eligibility coach, Jones, and I help parents, guidance counselors, and youth coaches guide their student athletes through the eligibility certification process so that they make sure that everything is done so that they can accept scholarship offers.
Well, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. And, you know, she gave us a well-rounded group of folks that she's involved with. And, you know, just give her a little background and give us some information about your book. And what I mean by a little background, she is a compliance person by trade. Go ahead. I'll stop. Go ahead.
Yes, I've worked in compliance for the last 10 years. I graduated from the journalism school at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, got a master's degree at Virginia Commonwealth University, and I completed law school at the University of Miami. I am licensed in Florida and the District of Columbia, and I've worked in compliance for the last 10 years, certifying athletes for admissions and for competition, but at all at the Division I level. But I work with schools at the Division II level and Division III level because we have students transferring to and from the schools that I've worked with from all of those different organizations.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that piece. And I'm going to give everybody a chance to give us a call. If you have any questions today, we're going to get into our conversation here. But you can reach us at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. We're going to be talking about this reclassification bug issue, drama, whatever you want to call it, because I seriously believe that this is something that's going to hinder our young men in the future. And I was talking to the eligibility coach a couple of days ago, and we asked her, please, please, please come on and do this show for us, because we need to get a clarification and a better understanding of this reclassification. What do you think, Marlon?
Well, the parents just need to be fully aware of what it means. You can take as many years as you would like to complete the high school, prep school process. And some people do it so that they get older, they get stronger, they get more physical. They're doing it, what they say, purely for athletic reasons. But we have a lot of students who also try to take additional courses that they need to be certified for athletics. And that's where they run into problems. Because if you're going to compete at the NCAA Division I or II level, you are looked at to graduate whenever your high school class graduates. So they start counting from the day you enter ninth grade, and we can only use courses completed in the first 8 semesters of high school to certify you for athletics competition. Now, there are 2 exceptions to that.
Yes,
one of those exceptions is if you have a learning impacted disability. In that case, you can complete 3 courses after high school graduation and count them. Other students can only use 1 course after high school graduation in that 16 course. So if you're going to prep school and you've already completed 16 core courses or at a minimum 15, then you and your family have to decide if it's worth the financial investment and time for you. But if you have less than 15 core courses, you're going to end up short because you're only going to be able to use 1 during that prep school year or reclassification year towards your certification.
Well, you know, what I found, and I think you just touched on it and explained it very well, you know, there are young men being told by these various team coaches that, okay, well, we can reclassify you. You're young. You still got time to develop. But not realizing that there's no true benefit out of it.
Well, I've talked with some parents who say that, you know, their child needs another year to be noticed by coaches. But what I have found is that the majority of coaches start really looking at students early, and it's getting earlier and earlier for each sport. I interviewed a women's soccer coach last night, Coach Faulkner at Armstrong Atlantic State University in Savannah, Georgia, and he says soccer coaches are now looking at kids in the 8th and 9th grade. And we know in the sport of men's basketball, student athletes are considered prospects for some parts of NCAA legislation beginning in the 7th grade. So if your child has gotten to the 11th or the 12th grade and isn't being highly recruited, it may be more beneficial for you to look at the junior college route, where you can start working on that college degree while continuing to compete in the sport and hopefully being noticed by more coaches.
You know, parents, I hope you heard that point. I hope you heard that point, wrote that down, made a very serious note of that, because, you know, what the eligibility coach just explained to you, that your child is being looked at earlier on and earlier as the years go by, that time period slips back even more and more. You know, at one point in time, they started looking at the kids in the ninth grade. Then somebody said, okay, well, let's start identifying a few eighth graders. You know, because this eighth grader, if we get him on a certain track, then he or she will produce and be the child that we're looking at. And then at the same time, the coach has a chance to get a bug in his or her ear. Now we're talking about seventh graders. So how far back are we going to start to go to do this thing? But the whole meat of this thing, your child is not going to transform in that 1 year that you choose to reclassify your child. In that 1 year, your child is not going to transform from being a standard D3 player to being a major D1 player. That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen.
98% of the time, your skill level is not going to change. And most students, by the time they're juniors or seniors in high school, aren't going to grow anymore. You do have a few exceptions with some people hitting growth spurts in their senior year. But generally, your skill level, your basic skills, you develop those early in elementary school and middle school, and you enhance them in high school. You have
yes.
a few people who start late. I went to school with Sam Perkins, who didn't play basketball until he was in the 10th or 11th grade, but he was also 6'10". So you have to weigh things. What is going to be the best overall experience for your student athlete?
Exactly. And you know, one thing that I also noticed, and I like to share with parents all the time, it's not really the high school that's going to be the determining factor on whether or not your child gets that proper exposure or not. It's normally the AAU circuit or the 7-on-7 football circuit or different camps and clinics and things like that, because what we have to remember as parents, it's a handful of college coaches out there. Is dozens and dozens and dozens of high schools out there. Coaches cannot get out to every single high school to see every single kid. So what they do, they gravitate more towards the big events where they have a large number of these kids out there. So,
and Coach Foster and I talked about that last night, since he said with soccer, if he goes to a high school game, he's going to see two teams play. Whereas if he goes to a travel event, he may get to see 70 to 80 teams play. And
exactly.
therefore, he can use his travel money more efficiently by going to travel games than going to high school competition.
That is so true. That is so true. And if you look at, you know, if you realize that a lot of these schools have very limited budget on traveling and recruiting, then you realize he's going to take the latter of the two and go to a event where he can look at 70 or 80 games, you know, teams play, instead of going to see two teams play. Well, go ahead.
The other thing the parents need to remember is that, especially for the sport of basketball, the high school season and the college season are at the same time. So it is much more difficult for the coaches to get away during the season when they're trying to prepare their teams for their own competitions to watch prospects when the AAU and the travel team season last almost all year.
Exactly, exactly. You hit the nail right on top of the head. Well, we're gonna take a little pause for the calls real quick and step out for a little tip from the eligibility coach. And when we come back, please give us a call at 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. Eligibility coach, we're going to pause for a little quick commercial.
Hi, I'm Marlon, the eligibility coach Jones, with today's tip for easy athletic certification, official visits. Many parents have asked me exactly what the student must have in order to be able to accept an official visit to a school. First, the student must register with the NCAA Eligibility Center. In addition to registering, the student must complete the answers to the amateurism question. Then the student needs to provide a copy of an official high school transcript to the coaches, along with a copy of their standardized test scores. Once the school has this information, you can visit officially. This means the university can reimburse you for your travel expenses and provide up to 3 complimentary admissions to a home event. In addition, the university can also provide on-campus parking. For more information on tips for certification, please visit our website at www.eligibilitycoach.com. This is Marlon, the Eligibility Coach, wishing you scholarships.
Well, I figured I'd go ahead and throw that little shameless plug in there, Eligibility Coach. I hope you didn't mind.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That there are more of those tips and suggestions on our YouTube channel.
Yes, ma'am. And somewhere towards the end, hopefully you're going to give out all your contact information for us. But I'd like to try to add one of them to each one of my shows to just make sure that folks know what's what and they're getting that real information instead of this information from off the street somewhere. We're talking about reclassifying and whether or not it's advantageous to you and your child for your child to reclassify. Give us a call at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. And it'll prompt you to hit 1 if you want to join us in the conversation. I see we have a couple callers on the line already, but I don't quite sure if any of them really have any questions. I didn't see if they hit the number 1 key. So if you hit the number 1 key, I see that you have a question, and we'll bring you in on the conversation. But we're on right now with the Eligibility Coach, Mrs. Marlon Jones. And other than her wonderful book, she's just sharing some insight from that book with us right now. Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
Well, I want to let all of your listeners know that we're running a spring break special. And if you purchase the book online at our website between now and midnight on Saturday, you'll get free shipping. So you'll only pay for the book, and we'll take on the cost of shipping. And that site is www.eligibilitycoach.com/buy the book.
Buy the book. And if you would, please place that up on our Facebook page. I think you said you found it.
I found it.
Okay. We can get that information out to our folks that's following us on Facebook as well. And I know I've seen you tweet it a couple of times as well, so I think we're really getting the information out there. But, you know, going back to the conversation of this reclassifying, you know, how many semesters – you know, this is the point that I think parents really need to hear, the issue about the semester hours.
Well, the NCAA requires 16 core courses for students to be certified to compete in Division I or Division II. They are different 16 core courses, but both divisions require 16 core courses. These core courses must be completed within the first 8 semesters of starting high school. The exception to that are students who are currently high school freshmen. The rules for these students have changed. These students must complete 10 of the 16 core courses before they start their senior year in high school. And 7 of those 10 core courses must be in English, math, and natural science. So it is possible for the students who are currently high school freshmen to disqualify themselves from being able to compete as college freshmen before they even start their senior year in high school.
Okay. Well, as you know, we have that information out there, and we'll be posting that information, and we'll be getting that information out to as many parents as possible. Parents, if your child, again, is a current freshman, you need to look at that information. I think the NCAA recently came out with a new website, 2.3.
Yes.
Take a knee.
2.3. 2.3.org.
Okay, 2.3.org. And go out there, take a look at that website, and find out what this new 2.3 requirement is going to be. Well, Ms. Jones, go ahead and give us contact information, and as we prepare to wind down here.
Sure. You may reach me. My email is mjones@eligibilitycoach.com. My Facebook page is facebook.com/eligibilitycoach. You can follow me on Twitter at ELIGIBILITYCOAC, no H. Our YouTube channel is www.youtube.com/eligibilitycoach. And again, if you purchase the book before midnight on Saturday at our site, www.eligibilitycoach.com/buy the book, you will get free shipping.
All right. Well, we've been online with the eligibility coach, Mrs. Marlon Jones, and hopefully we'll have her on more often. And if not, you will definitely be able to catch her tips every week, at least twice a week, because we have a show on Saturday that we just recently opened up as well.
Great.
Well, we thank you for coming on, and we're looking forward to hearing more from you and hearing about the wonderful things that you're doing in the community as well. I'm right in the middle of a strange situation right now because I was actually scheduled to be a guest on a local show here at about 12:30, which is about 2 minutes from now. So I'm going to cut this short.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, ma'am. And you have a great day. All right.
Okay,
keep closing up. Thank you.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.